Part one, the star. There was a king who ruled in days gone by, whom none in all the valley could excel in generosity and strength of heart. His kingdom stretched as far as he could see from east to west, and so again beyond the mountain peaks that hid his land from view, as far from west to east as told before. Though all this vast expanse of land lay far beyond the faintest streaks of daybreak in our eastern sky, cross hills and seas and mountains to a place we hear about from travelers or dream of in our beds and fail to grasp when light from that forgotten land pricks open our sleeping eyelids and scatters visions of the earth this wise king ruled. That monarch, in his kindness, with his people, shared the wealth of wisdom gifted him by what mysterious power he knew not. And so the people came from far and near, across the mountains, or from there within the mighty walls of his fair city, same for those who traveled months to seek his word as those who stopped and waited at his gate while out to buy their bread or meet a friend. He was no miser with this fount of knowledge, nor did he scoff at simple-minded folk, but sought to guide them best as he knew how. And most days of the year did well and good, and kept his promise to the land that it might grow and prosper, as had his wise self. But this tale brings us listeners to a time when all within the king was fierce unrest, and no despairing subject at his gate sought peace of mind from kind and generous words. For every soul without about the country, and every soul within the city walls knew, there would be no wise counsel from the king where one great matter was concerned. Every year, the question would arise, and every year the people would look up to see their ruler at his lofty tower, furrowed lines of worry on his brow and agitation weighing down the corners of his mouth, and yet not see, for darkness barred their sight from all but faintest silhouettes and shadows of the monarch's lofty towers casting gaping holes against the stars. Yes, every year the dark descended on the wise king's realm. The sun grew ever more reluctant to display its brilliant robes of molten gold cascading down in rivers of joy and warmth and sweet life-giving breath. The scented west wind, light with honeybees, began to hide away and leave the stoops once carefully and lovingly swept clean to shudder in the fearsome gusts and storms that ravaged ragged hillsides in the months when darkness took the land. And this wise king knew not what he could do to stem the flood of fear through every heart among his people. And so the king would spend those darkened days consumed in worry, chilled with doubt. Perhaps this year would be the ever-dreaded year when finally the sun, the source, the flame, would fail to find the strength to change its course, and sinking ever lower in the sky would dip at last beyond that icy mass of mountains at the farthest edge of sight and not return. Perhaps the groping hand of night would tighten its black fist around its prey so firmly that the melting rays of dawn no longer would release its grip, and snatched away would be the frozen tower, city, farmland, the hills and streams and villages and those who called the hamlets home, who warmed their hands by hearths that cut a tiny haven in the dark. The very mountains night would come to claim and leave behind abyss. Such horrors this wise king would dwell upon while waiting out the long, unwelcome nights, for when the tired sun sank in the west, the king's good heart would rap upon his chest to keep his vigil strong until the east grew gray with the approaching dawn and stars began to disappear, like days announcing not their exit to the world, but when attention wanders elsewhere, softly slipping off so that their absence goes unmarked until all of a sudden whole years have been misplaced. But unlike years, the sad relief of daybreak in the land was always short reprieve, tainted by knowing the stars would come again, and all too soon. And so, in time, The king had come to know the glittering city near above his head, as well as that dark city at his feet. Each cold light branded in his memory as vividly as each warm living light among the hearths of his beloved people. The great celestial bear kept watch with him and grew to be a dear companion through the lonely nights. The hunter and the centaur, ever chasing after glowing game beyond the wise king's reach, paid him no heed, but hastened through the sky as still as stone on their eternal errand. In the north, the pole star held its ground as seasons fled, and from its burning spot the king knew well the distance to its brethren, every winking, slowly turning point of white amid the vast black blanket of the sky. But better yet, he came acquainted with the eastern lights before the break of day, for on that far horizon would he train his gaze, as if by stern reproach in his cold eyes he might entice the day to rise more swiftly from its bed. But daybreak, being as the storied kettle, which watched, purses its lips and will not whistle. The monarch memorized instead the sky he did not wish to see, and traced the path of Venus, the morning star, so many nights it burned a trench into his troubled mind. And as the wise king stood within his tower, a sound would often catch the chilling wind and carry clear as ice, as if the night had frozen this dark sound in its ascent, ensuring its delivery soft and sharp to our wise king's ears. The sound of song, a hollow song of winter, dark and deep and sorrowful as nights that linger on forever. So the king would listen to the people he so loved from his lofty vantage, to hear them cast their sorrows to the cruel north winds.